let me tell you something, brother.
What is your name?
I told you.
It doesn't matter what your name is. Tell me. He didn't just say that.
Hey, yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
What? 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 What?
It doesn't matter what you think. Have a nice day.
You think you know me?
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Great Debate. Each episode features spirited discussions, deliberations, and disputes on a variety of topics that run the gamut in the world of wrestling. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to a brand new show here on the PTBN Wrestling feed. Not used to saying wrestling feed, I usually go boop. But here I am on the big feed, so to speak. And this is a offspring of a pop show that has had some, you know, little glimpses here on the wrestling feed on the great show, the main event. This is the Great Debate Wrestling Edition. Scott, Nate, and Steve were kind enough to have a couple episodes, have me on, and we played my Great Debate episode, kind of like how we do it on the pop feed, but it was all wrestling related. Rapid Fire was wrestling, and we had a great time. But they have since changed their format. I'm not trying to tell tales at a skew, like one of my guests would say. But so they really, you know, are good and gave me permission, go with God, to do this on its own. And I think it's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to sitting down, talking with a whole bunch of people here at Place to Be Nation and throwing out some great wrestling topics. And tonight I'm coming out of the gate swinging. I got some of the best and the brightest here at Place to Be Nation. So first, we're talking about wrestling tonight. So his show, he's got two shows here on the wrestling feed, as far as I believe. We've got Talking WCW and PTBN NXT, Mr. Tim Capel. Tim, how are you tonight?
I'm great, Andy. I'm glad you remembered my two shows on this here wrestling feed, because sometimes I forget that I have two shows on the wrestling feed. PTB NXT is a very new show, admittedly, so I try to give myself some cover under the guise of that. Anyway, thank you for having me. When you mentioned that this great debate on wrestling only was going to become its own thing, I was very enthusiastic about it, and sure enough, you extended the invite like right away, so that's pretty awesome, and I'm happy to be here. Very hype.
Yes, you stay hype, actually, right? You don't get hype.
I try to stay hype.
You
try
to stay hype. Yes,
it's hard at my advanced age, but you know, you do what you can.
Don't give me a window, Tim. I always jump through it. Anyway, so speaking of another show here on the wrestling feed, Jenny and the Gems, we have one of the gems here tonight, Mr. Matt Souza. Matt, how are you tonight?
Good. Thanks for having me, and very glad that best and brightest and Matt Souza can now be uttered in the same breath. So.
We love you, Maddie. Come on. And speaking of love, nothing but love for this gentleman. He is on the Extreme Three-Way Dance with Mr. Rosero and Miss Jennifer Smith, as well as very often on the Place to Be podcast, Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato. Johnny, how are you tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful. You said you're with the best and the brightest. I guess you already introduced them. So where does that leave us? The breast and the
slightest?
The breast and the brightest? Yeah.
The breast and the slightest, yes. All right. We're up to a terrific stop.
The breast and the rest.
So for those of you unfamiliar with The Great Debate, it's a fun show, very simple concept. I come up with little questions. Sometimes I pose scenarios or I just, you know, ask people just to rank their favorites. Anyway, it's All Wrestling. We're going to, you know, going to kind of theme it a little bit since we are in WrestleMania season. So a lot of our questions are going to be around that, the biggest weekend of the year in wrestling. So we're going to start off with our first question tonight is, what's a city that has never hosted WrestleMania but should? And in that city, if you're familiar with it enough, what venue should be used? So we're going to start with you, Tim. Give me a city that you think should get their hands on a WrestleMania.
So I'm going to go with Jennifer Smith's backyard in Navarre Beach, Florida, where she resides. No.
Oh, good Lord.
I know she's been pushing for that. I feel like it's an unlikely possibility, but you never know. Me selfishly, like, I live in Richmond, Virginia. Like, we don't even have a stadium. We don't have a professional sports team. It's like, we're never going to get a WrestleMania. Obviously we barely get pay-per-views or TV shows, but adjacent to me, of course, I mean, we do have Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. and one of my favorite cities, Baltimore. Again, don't know how realistic either of those are for WrestleMania. Like, DC, you feel like logistically would be a nightmare. You know, what are you going to do? Like an RFK stadium WrestleMania? I don't see that really flying or being all that desirable to the company. On the other hand, you've got Baltimore. What is it? The M&T Bank Ravens.
Yeah, wherever the Ravens play.
Yeah, wherever the Ravens play. I mean, the Inner Harbor is really cool, but again, that just doesn't seem to be their speed these days, right? For these WrestleManias in major cities, major arenas. But personally, that's what I would want. Can we compete with LA? No, probably not. Can we compete with Dallas or even Orlando? Tampa? No. But let's mix it up a little. Maybe in a down year. I don't know. That's what I would want.
Yeah, Baltimore, so, I mean, I've never actually been to Baltimore, but I mean, I've driven through it on my way to Florida or Virginia, but it's beautiful. But Baltimore doesn't scream
no
WrestleMania. You know? Sure. Baltimore's like to use a phrase Triple H would use on Daniel Bryan, it's a B+ city, I guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Admittedly, like I mean, I don't even live there, but I would concede that point for sure. Yeah. But I mean,
that would be fun, like, though.
Just think outside the box a little, yeah. I guess, because it's sort of, they've gotten into this pattern of sort of doing the same few cities in a loop, it feels like. Uh-huh. And I'm always more for, I always want WrestleMania to be on the coast, whether East Coast, West Coast. Uh-huh. But I don't want to travel that far north. Like, I'm saying this like I'm really going to go to one, but
oh, come on.
You know, like, if I was going to go to one, that would sweeten the deal a little bit if it was closer to home, or if it was in like a really cool city. Like, I'd be more into, let's say they never have another WrestleMania on the East Coast. I would be more into actually a West Coast WrestleMania, as far from home as that is, than like a Midwestern state, which, I don't know, I just find the Midwest kind of, there's a reason they call them flyover states, you know, with disrespect.
No, first episode, we're already offending plenty of listeners. Yes. Sorry to all you Baltimore listeners, by the way. Maddie. What about you? What do you think is a city that should host a Mania?
So I kind of thought of an out-of-the-box one, too. I went with Montreal, Quebec. Ooh.
Ooh.
And you could have it at the Olympic Stadium.
That closes the roof, right? That has a retractable?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But if not, WrestleMania in the snow, that'd be pretty freaking cool.
they have rolled the dice with you know, doing it in MetLife.
Oh yeah,
you know,
for sure.
A couple of times, you know, the first one there was, wasn't it like we got snow like a week or two before, I think, right? Before 29, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, I was like, so they were like getting a little nervous. And I mean, they had a damn Super Bowl up here too.
Yeah. But right. It's a really cool looking building. Mm-hmm. And Montreal, I've been to Montreal. I went like 5 or 6 years ago. It's a really cool place. It's a cool city. There's bars and partying all over the place. It'd be a cool place for a Mania, I think.
Mm-hmm. Be quite the PTVN tailgate up there.
Yeah.
Johnny, what about you? Where would your travels take you to a WrestleMania city that hasn't happened yet?
I'm going to go with a city named after one of its star players, where Mr. Ric Flair was born, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm. Yeah, well, the Panther Stadium, I guess, would be the venue, whatever the proper name is, the sponsored name. Yeah, I could see Charlotte, you know.
I think it's whatever fuckwad bank field.
Bank of America Stadium. Fuckwad Bank of America Stadium.
I think Bank of America bought Fuckwad Bank.
Yeah.
They closed the deal in 2019.
Yeah, and they had the arena for the takeover too, which is close by where the Hornets play, and it's a lovely, it's a beautiful city, and obviously it's got a lot of history with a lot of great NWA and WCW when they were around. It's got a lot of great history, so it's a nice city.
The only thing I would think they would shy away from with the history is it's not their history. You know what I mean? It's their competition's history that they ultimately bought. But, you know, who knows if they would, you know, be big enough. I mean, I don't think Vince would. But if Hunter's running the show, I think Hunter recognizes the history. And he's a huge Flair, you know, guy that he would recognize what that would mean for the wrestling industry to have a Mania in Charlotte. And really focus on the legacy of the that wrestling from that area.
Yeah. Most people, and I was surprised that you guys didn't come up with Vegas. Most people are dying for Vegas with the new stadium out there, the new Raiders Stadium, et cetera. But I say
not a big Vegas fan.
Yeah, but also I say Vegas isn't really too kid friendly, and you know, WrestleMania is like a kid. You know, a lot of kids and youths, and Vegas is more for gambling and whores.
That's old Vegas. Like, new Vegas is very touristy, and there's enough in terms of, like, you know, hotel pools and shops and those. Like, every hotel's got a theme that you walk down through, like, the whole Galleria, whatever the hell they're calling them. And there's rides, there's roller coasters. I mean, I think they could, if they position where the events are, I think they could get away with it. It's not like, you know, old Vegas where you know, you got Fulton Street and all that. That's where, like, you know, the cheap, you know, steaks and, you know, the streetwalkers and stuff are. So, all right. Well, any other cities you guys want to throw out there?
I think the other one would probably be like Wembley in London.
Yeah.
But I feel like eventually they'll probably do that at some point.
Could be.
I think the demand's probably going to be high enough where they'll do at least one, like Tim said with Baltimore, one of the lesser Manias.
I wonder how that's determined.
Throw it in London. Well, who cares? You know, you can show it on a delay.
Yeah, Baltimore too is another, like, that's a WCW hotbed. So once more, you think, is it really their history? Would they be that enthusiastic about it? You can see Vince McMahon, the fuck's Baltimore, pal. You know, like,
has there ever been one in Atlanta?
I mean,
'27 was it the Georgia Dome?
Oh, okay,
yeah.
See, my memory's for shit, and I host a wrestling show now. Okay. But I think, Atlanta, I would see them going back there soon because it's been a while. It's been
probably,
you know, almost 10 years. I mean, I try to think like other parts of the country, and really, like Tim said, like, you know, the state to the coast for the most part. I mean, you got Minnesota. I mean, Chicago maybe. I know they've been there in the past, but it's been a long time for them to have a something that big there. All right, so
with Atlanta, with Atlanta, it's like they don't want to do too many in the South, like back to back, it seems like. So, you know, next year going to LA, you figure year after might bring it back to Atlanta. I could easily see that.
Yeah, or probably Minneapolis or Dallas. Probably those are your three front runners, I think, for the 2022 Mania. So, all right. So, speaking of the event, let's get into some of the things about it. So they have the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, originally the ill-named Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal. But should it be named after somebody? If so, who? Matt, let's start with you.
So when I saw this question, the first name that came to my mind was Trish. I mean, what, 6-7-time women's champion and, you know, one of the biggest women's wrestlers they've ever had. So, I mean, if you're going to pick anybody, I would pick her probably.
No, yeah, that's a good choice. I mean, she, you know, revolutionized it, and she was the lead. I mean, she went from a fitness model to one of the greatest women wrestlers of all time. So
right, yeah, and she was actually wrestling in an era where women's wrestling was, you know, bra and panty matches half the time. You know, she was actually going out there and having good matches.
Yeah, and probably one of the greatest feuds ever. Her rivalries, actually, her and Lita would probably go down as the top 20 feud, I guess, in the history of wrestling, I would think. Johnny, what about you? What do you say about the Women's Battle Royal at WrestleMania? Who should it be named after somebody, and who?
Well, the logical choice, maybe not so logical, but is Mae Young, but probably not, because she's kind of associated with Moolah. So that may be stopping that. But that would be the most popular, obvious answer. So she's done so much, and she went through a friggin' table at age 87. She let the Dudley boys fucking put her through a table while she was in her late hundreds or whatever.
Yeah, she has the Mae Young Classic named after her, so they may, you know, look to somebody else. But I mean, who?
Yeah, I don't even know if they're gonna be doing that anymore. So if they could transition if they don't have any the designs on doing the Mae Young Classic anymore. Now with all these, you know, with NXT and UK and all that, they already have a 6 women's division. So
yeah,
they could transfer that.
Yeah, Tim, what about you?
Yeah, I was sort of thinking along similar lines as John, in that Mae Young is sort of the obvious go-to choice, just because you do have the Mae Young Classic, and if not Moolah, then, well, there's Mae. And I feel like it does need to be named after someone. You have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. The problem being, if you're going to name the Women's Battle Royal after someone, it sort of implies that they have to be dead. And yeah, if Moolah is out, then your options, you still have some good choices here. I kind of gave some thought to China.
Yes.
She's such a huge name, and the company likes to pretend that she doesn't exist because Triple H thinks his kids are going to Google her and see that she did porn or like whatever. But even if they weren't that way, I don't know. I got to thinking about it more, and China's interesting in that she was such a memorable personality, but kind of transcended women's wrestling, right? She came along at a time when women's wrestling was really sort of a joke, and in order to get over, she had to basically compete with men and got very over doing that, and was such a star that it's almost like to call it the China Memorial Battle Royals, like, well, what are we really commemorating here? So then you look at, I don't know, there's Sherry Martel, who isn't remembered that well as like a wrestler directly, but certainly was huge for, I think, just women's wrestling generally. But a good middle ground might be somebody like Luna Vachon. So it's like not as big of a name, but was still a badass, was still a wrestler. Sort of obscure, but not to people who are really in the know and get it and are wrestling fans. So I'm going to go with the Luna Vachon Memorial Battle Royal. Why not?
Yeah, too bad. Yeah, too bad Elizabeth wasn't a wrestler. She might be, the Miss Elizabeth, you know, Battle Royal. Yeah, it's kind of hard, you know, because you know, there's such a smaller pool to pick from for the women, and women that are remembered, you know, are legends. I mean, there are legends in the business, but yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? Do the Glamour Girls Battle Royal or something? I mean,
exactly. Rock and Robin. You want to pick someone who is known as a wrestler, right? Who sort of did something, for lack of a better term, for women's wrestling. And the fact of it is, as hard as a lot of these women worked and as hard as they tried, the company just didn't get behind them and didn't care about women's wrestling for so very long. Mm-hmm. So, you sort of don't have as deep of a bench to pull from as you'd like.
All right.
Which I guess is good.
Again, Velvet McIntyre Battle Royal just doesn't carry any weight. Like,
if you're looking at dead people, I guess it's good that there aren't, like, how many dead male wrestlers are, like, there's just a plethora, right? So I guess it's good in a way that your options are a little bit more narrow for this sort of thing. But yeah, that's sort of where I landed on this question.
Okay. All right. So we're going to step off WrestleMania for a second, but something that most of us, I would agree, think is going to happen this year. It's that we're talking about the Undisputed Era. Now, this is probably the most dominating faction in the history of NXT. When they get called up, where are they going? Are they going to Raw or SmackDown? How would you debut them? Should they be heels or babyfaces? And do you see another faction forming in NXT to replace them? And if so, who would be in it? So, kind of a loaded, multi-part question in 27 parts, like in Back to School. So let's kind of just go around. We'll take it piece by piece. So when they get called up, which brand do you think Undisputed Era is going to go on? Johnny, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with SmackDown, although it's kind of hard now because they'll probably have the redraft after the WrestleMania. And then, you know, so to try to pin them, it would be great to see them go right in, and especially the you know, like see old Fish and O'Reilly go right at the Usos and the New Day, and have and then you could have, you know, Cole shoot him right to the top and have him go after Roman. That would be ideal. And also selfishly, I want to see the SmackDown to see like individual matches like Daniel Bryan versus Roddy Strong and O'Reilly in singles matches. So that's just, you know, selfishly want to see that. Of course, that's probably not going to happen. That's too good wrestling, and that's not really what we usually get on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah. Tim, which brand do you think they should go on?
All right. So I'm going to answer it this way. I'm trying not to be mean. As we know, I'm not the biggest supporter in the world of Raw and SmackDown. So I'll approach it from the standpoint of, I just think Raw and SmackDown both are so crowded right now and probably are going to remain so, just given the philosophy that the company has towards just kind of keeping everybody under contract, no matter how much or how little they are using them. So again, I'm being... trying to be diplomatic here.
Hey, you can choose option C. You know, keep them. They stay in NXT. It's allowed. You're allowed to pivot on this show.
I guess I'm trying to also be realistic, and it's like, you know, they're going to get called up at some point. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say this: I would like to see the Undisputed Era finish up their run, finish up their story in NXT. Like, go ahead, and I feel like we're already on that track, actually, just after the last couple of months and really the last two NXT takeovers. I would see, it seems like they're beginning this sort of slow spiral with the faction, where like O'Reilly and Fish have lost the tag titles, Strong has lost the North American title, Adam Cole is left, still hanging on to the NXT championship, but have a feeling he's going to be losing that at TakeOver Tampa coming up. And it's sort of like, where do you go from there with them in NXT? They've lost all their titles. I guess you could try to rebuild them, but it just sort of sort of seems like they've done all they could, or at least we're getting to that point. And maybe we break these guys up now. Do they have to have some huge feud? Does there have to be all this infighting? Maybe, maybe not. But at the end of the day, I think when they land onto the main roster, it's not necessarily as a unit. Oh. I think I would probably keep Fish and O'Reilly together as a tag team, just because they are such a great tag team and there is sort of a need for a breakout tag team. But Strong and Adam Cole, it's like, you know, do we need more singles, like great work rate guys on Raw or on SmackDown? There's not really a, sure, they're always going to be able to put on great matches, but is there a need for that? That at the moment, not really, but probably gonna happen. So I could see them just sort of drifting in the mid-card single scene for a while on either Raw, on either SmackDown, maybe split the difference. One goes to one show, one goes to the other. And then and when there is a good opportunity, get these four guys back together on whatever show it is. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter. Like in the doldrums, maybe in a down month or so, something, all of a sudden Undisputed Era like gets back together and it's like, holy shit. Now we've got a hot story on a main roster show. Mm-hmm. Like now there's this big faction. They're back. It feels organic. It's not just, hey, now the Undisputed Era is on Raw. Now they're on SmackDown, which is how they always do these NXT call ups. You know, it's just, here they are, now you're supposed to care about them. I just think you introduce the individual talents, you do whatever you do with them, and then you just sort of, you build them up, get people behind them, and then it's like, haha, now we're going to do this callback, but it still makes sense in the context of where they are today. So are they going to do that? I doubt it. It's just sort of more long-term than the company tends to think. But I just think that's the way to do it if we must do it. And, mm-hmm. I mean, if it's up to me, they'll just stay in NXT forever, yeah. Right? But yeah. That's not the world we live in.
Nope, unfortunately not. Maddie, what about you? Where do you think they end up, Raw or SmackDown?
So I'm going to say Raw for the sole reason of the guy running Raw, and that's Paul Heyman. Because I think they have a better chance of staying close to what they are in NXT with Heyman as opposed to the clown show that runs SmackDown.
All right. Well, we'll stay with you. Should they be heels or babyfaces?
Oh, you got to keep them heels. No way. No way are you turning them face. No way.
Johnny, what do you say? Heel or faces?
Definitely stay heel. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Tim, you agree?
Yeah, we would keep them heel for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, although they've been tending to flip guys when they bring them up, a.k.a. Drew or Bobby Roode or I forgot who the other one was. I think it was like Asuka.
I mean, yeah. The problem with that approach, too, is that anyone who actually has a personality on Raw or SmackDown is automatically a face. You know, because just baby faces have no personality, so no one cares. No one gets behind them. Heels just naturally tend to show a little bit more ass, mm-hmm. just have more of a character, and that just resonates with people. So even if they're heels, they're going to get cheered unless something drastically changes in terms of how the company programs their baby faces.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Tim, since you co-host...
But that's nothing.
Go ahead.
That's nothing new. That's. I mean, we know that that's the reality of, mm-hmm. you know, characters nowadays on these shows.
Yeah. So since you are a co-host on an NXT show, even though that's kind of a historical view, if and when they do come up, do you see another faction forming in NXT? And just take some guesses at like who could be in that faction.
Hmm. I think certainly it would leave a power vacuum, yes. And I am a sucker for a strong, again, especially heel faction in wrestling. Do you do another foursome? It might feel like it's too directly trying to replace what has been lost. So I'm not married to that necessarily. You could do an even larger faction, not like NWO larger or anything, but I mean, you could get away with more than four people in a stable.
You see them maybe move an Imperium from the UK over stateside?
Maybe, but NXT UK still feels a little bit shallow to me. Like they sort of need them more than like stateside NXT, which is sort of a talent warehouse right now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, by the time we get to, you know, we're not saying how long this is going to take. I mean, this could be 6 months from now, mm-hmm. and NXT UK really beefs up its talent roster. That's completely possible. But I mean, yeah, you could definitely take an existing faction, just transplant them from one division to another. But I think I'd like to see another homegrown main NXT group come up. I don't know what that looks like today. I don't particularly know who should be in it, but I don't know, just off top of my head, they're trying to do something with Austin Theory, it seems like. Mm-hmm.
And whoever that Jamoke is that's managing Chelsea Green.
The Robert Stone brand, yes.
I feel like you want like a cruiserweight in there, somebody just to be your cruiserweight champion within this. And again, if it's a four-person stable, I'd say no, but if we've got a little bit more wiggle room, like six people, then get your main star, get your cruiserweight, get your tag team, get your North American champion guy, and then just sort of somebody who's waiting in the wings, another good singles competitor. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, a woman, who knows. But yeah, I think I've kind of talked myself into this, the six piece faction. This big, yeah, big, badass, sexy six piece heel faction in NXT to dominate.
There you go.
I think they're going to steal your idea, Andy. They're going to bring in, they're going to change the Forgotten Sons. They're going to bring them in as the Young Jamokes under Robert Stone. The Robert Stone brand. He's going to have the girl Chelsea and the Young Jamokes.
Seriously. But Johnny, seriously, do you have any ideas if they're, you know, you think they'd form another faction to kind of fill the void?
Definitely with that's what I was thinking of, the Forgotten Sons. Maybe they could use a manager. I don't know if they're gonna be using they had Stokely Hathaway. They had him experimenting using him, but with about they changed his name about six different times, but he hasn't been seen on TV, so I don't know if they're planning on doing something with either him or as aforementioned, you know, have Robert Stone, the Robert Stone brand, get into the, you know, managing a male or a tag team. Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. It's something we've never seen before. It's unique that a manager we've never heard of debuts with a woman client. So, Maddie, what do you think? You think there's going to be a new faction forming once Undisputed Era, leaves?
So I actually had what you had mentioned with Imperium jumping over. that's what I was thinking of. But, well, you know, that would probably leave, like Tim said, leave the UK brand like just completely wasteland with nobody else. But I mean, unless they're doing both, which would be a neat trick. Mm-hmm. But
well, it seems like now that NXT UK is kind of becoming a feeder to NXT.
Right.
Because, you know, that's where Pete Dunne, Rhea came from. Tony looks like she's going to be jumping soon. So definitely see
Jordan Devlin.
Yeah, Jordan Devlin. So I definitely see, you know, once they kind of can't go much further over there in the UK, then I think they're going to come stateside, I think, eventually, to kind of get a bigger audience, you know, be a more of a more touring dates over here and all that stuff and be, you know, at the PC and all that stuff.
Run like joint house shows, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then eventually, you know, if we get other NXTs and other parts of the world, once everything's cleaned up, you know, will have more feeder systems. I think that's what maybe Hunter's ultimate goal.
But, we're talking about Japan, so I mean that's what we're looking at. I mean, it's not a bad way of keeping guys in circulation, and I almost want to say a holding pattern, but it's sort of keeping people within a system where they can have really, really good matches for an extended period of time and still be working with a good variety of opponents. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the path is just simply NXT and then Raw. And it's like so many guys, especially who come through that, just that direct system, they're not, working indies or anything like that. It's like NXT is their first big break, and then they go to Raw, and it just feels like they're cooked. You know, it's a shame for a lot of these talents, and it shouldn't be that way, but it pretty much is. So, look, my mask of diplomacy is slipping already. So. I apologize.
Expected.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, something else we like to do or have done on these wrestling versions is we like to pick a move. It could be a finisher. It could be a setup move. It could just an ordinary move. And tonight we're going with one that is a can be used as a finisher, but not often. And we're gonna kind of go around. Now we're talking about the dropkick, by the way. So we're gonna say who has the best dropkick and what's your favorite variation move. You can name a few guys. You can and there are certainly many, many variations. So, we can, go around a couple of times. Who knows? Johnny, but we're going to give you the floor first. Who has the best dropkick? And give us one of your favorite variations.
I'm going to go with our boy, the Cowboys' favorite wrestler, Daniel Bryan. who we spent all last night shitting on during the Elimination Chamber. His missile dropkick is.
Was he that offended by the accidental testicles?
our seats were good, not that good.
I don't think we caught that. His missile dropkick is number one for me, above and beyond everybody else.
All right, Maddie, give us one of yours.
So I liked. I always liked Eddie Guerrero's dropkick. Mm-hmm. And as far as variation, I liked Booker T's missile dropkick quite a bit. Mm-hmm. When he used to win with the TV title when he was TV champion.
Yeah. All right, Tim, give us one of yours.
I am gonna back Matt up with the Booker T missile dropkick. That was gonna be my answer immediately going into this for variation. I always thought that looked so good. Booker T being as big a dude as he is, and just with the agility, plus with me being a WCW mark, of course. So good. But for standard dropkick, I will say Bob Holly, only because when can you ever say Bob Holly is the best at something? So let's go ahead and give him the nod. He had a great standard standing dropkick.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with a couple of guys. First, we're going to kind of jump errors here in a minute, but a couple of current guys. Dolph, I think Dolph's got a pretty damn solid dropkick, and Randy yes. Orton has a really good.
Orton was on the short list. Mm-hmm. Yep,
really
Randy
good.
Orton, yep.
In terms of missile, and you guys said a lot of great names, but Owen Hart also had a great missile dropkick. He actually, I think that might have been the Blue Blazers finisher. Might have been the missile dropkick. But we'll go around the horn again. Johnny, you got any others you want to mention?
No, you hit it. Randy Orton is underrated. He gets a lot of criticism for his other methodical moves and stuff. But his dropkick game is on point.
Yeah, they used to say back when years ago when the other two guys were a bit young, but Jumpin' Jim Brunzel had the reputation of having the best dropkick around. Of the of the Killer Bees tag team, which was pretty good. Matt, you got any others you want to add?
So I don't know how often he did it, but every now and then Coco Beware would do a missile dropkick. And when he landed on the mat, he would land on his feet.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't know how the gravity worked in his favor. I'm no scientist, but it worked and it was friggin' cool.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah. You know, I also had Billy Gunn down for standard dropkick. Again, in the vein of how many times are you going to say Billy Gunn is the best at something? But he really was, for somebody who's like such an enormous human being to be that graceful off his feet. You know, the aforementioned Randy Orton. But I mean, everything Orton does just looks so crisp and fluid. Variations. I do like a good shotgun dropkick too, like that Finn Balor does.
Oh yeah.
Pac in AEW has a really good one too. But yeah, somebody with a really explosive double barrel shotgun, whatever you want to call it, dropkick.
Would you consider the Claymore dropkick?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. The thing about that move is it's not as impactful as I want it to be for somebody who's supposed to be a power wrestler. Like, and that's kind of the story of my issue with Drew McIntyre. Not that I really have an issue, but part of why I haven't been totally able to buy into him is he just seems like he should be more of a hoss power guy, and he kind of isn't. But yeah. I don't know. I'm not super proficient in my Drew McIntyre.
You don't think the finisher fits him? Like he should. He should have more of a some kind of power slam or like a gorilla press, something like a little more intimidating, not a kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I always liked his DDT more than the boot, the Claymore, whatever it's called.
I mean, another one we didn't mention was Shawn Michaels, who he didn't use it much in his singles career. But when him and Marty, you know, when the Rockers were around, that double dropkick was pretty solid. Paul Roma actually didn't do a bad dropkick either. You know, I think he did a standing dropkick, if I can remember, when he was, after his Young Stallion days. I'm trying to think of any other guys and, you know, maybe in WCW I can think of.
Rock and Roll Express I had down to the double dropkick they used to do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean,
it's Dusty Rhodes, just in the sense that every time he did it, they would mark out on commentary going, Dusty Rhodes did a dropkick.
Yeah, same with the Big Show. He threw a few dropkicks in his day.
He had a good missile dropkick too.
Did Dino Bravo ever do a missile dropkick? Because I'm sure that was the worst.
No matter what he did, it was horrible. All right, so we're going to move on to a little section we like to call How Would You Fix? So I'm going to throw out some names, and I'm going to ask the guys to how would they basically, these are people that are kind of, you know, muddling through or just getting buried or just not connecting. And I'd like to see if you were working for WWE, and you want to have them, these guys, you want to start pushing them, how are you going to do it? So let's start with you, Matt. Apollo Crews.
So I struggled with this one, to be honest. I think he's good, but I think he's a guy who should have stayed in NXT for a lot longer than he did. Mm-hmm. So, I mean... he's not a great talker, so maybe you give him a manager on the main roster, like a Heyman or a Drake Maverick or something. But, I mean, besides that, I'm throwing him back in NXT and I'm figuring something out because I just think he got called up to the main roster way too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, like, you didn't even know who – oh, no, I'm sorry. No. You didn't even know who he was, and he was up on the main roster already.
Yeah, he basically seemed like he was at NXT for a cup of coffee, basically.
Yeah.
Tim, how would you do anything to fix Apollo Crews?
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking with that call up as quickly as it happened. My default answer for anyone who I feel like is actually talented and has a really high upside is back to NXT. So, I'm going to keep it as simple as that. Send this man back to NXT. Well, that's not true. My default answer for anyone really talented who's not being used is let these people go. there is no reason to be holding these people hostage, basically under contract, but just getting nothing. That doesn't do them any favors. It doesn't do the company any favors other than just blocking them from working for the competition, which I get is a legitimate competitive strategy, but at the end of the day, it helps no one. Like, you're not hurting for talent. Let some of these people go, for God's sakes. They'd be so much happier. They could improve, really make a name for themselves, maybe come back and work for you later once they've built a substantial cachet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the way things used to work, but I don't know. In a lot of ways, WWE today reminds me of these big tech companies that buy up all the startups just when they're showing a little bit of promise, and it just totally shuts down innovation, development. Just it's sort of analogous, and it's a little bit depressing as a fan that everybody is just sitting there in waiting and they're never going to get anything. It's like just collecting a paycheck because we don't want you to go and become a star somewhere else. Hell, we don't even want you to become a star here. You can't be bigger than us or the industry. So anyway, mini rant. I wish they would let a lot of these people go, but if that's not an option, then send him back to NXT. Certainly Apollo, send that man back to NXT because he is very talented and could do a lot there.
Mm-hmm. Johnny.
A lot more.
What about you or Apollo Crews?
Yeah, right before he started at NXT, I was at a Mets game with Mr. Criscolo, our associate, and the guy next to us must have heard us talking wrestling or something, and he's like, oh, you guys wrestling? This guy's getting ready to start with the WWE, this guy Uha Nation, and the guy gave me an ear beating for like 2 hours about how great like Uha Nation was, and he was going to be the greatest thing, and unfortunately, for a lot of what you guys already covered with Apollo Crews, it hasn't happened. And so I have two scenarios to fix Apollo Crews, and I'll let you three decide which one is the best way to go. So number one would be to do a heel turn and put him under with a little faction under with the Zelina, and have her with Andrade and maybe she could add the. Somebody else, maybe Alistair in the future.
Yeah, or a husband.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. So some kind of a faction there. Yeah, I have somebody talking for him. I have somebody, distractions outside. Maybe as a heel, even though his moves are, he's a smiley, happy-go-lucky face. But maybe if he fixes up his style in the ring. So that'll be the number one option. And the number two option is way outside the box. Have him like go on like a Curt Hawkins like 160 match losing streak and change his name to Apollo Lose.
Apollo Lose with the Whois.
And then every week, he's lost his 171st match, and just have him keep going, and then finally build to one big match to where eventually he wins
over Titus O'Neil.
I don't know. So you three can pick which one you want.
That one's probably the most realistic scenario.
And then with every loss, you add another O in his last name. So eventually...
we know how much people benefit from these losing streak gimmicks that they are fond of doing.
Well, how your default is send him back to NXT. My default is put him in a tag team. I mean, look at Power and Glory. Look at the Outlaws. I think you put him and Shelton Benjamin together. You know, two guys, similar offense, similar build. They could do a lot of tandem moves. You know, like a cheerleader type as their manager. I don't know. Could work.
I actually think they would be an awesome tag team. Now that you mentioned it, that hadn't occurred to me.
Hey, sometimes the obvious. Picks are the funniest. So anyway, moving on to somebody who had actually started to turn a corner a little bit, Dana Brooke. So let's start with Matt. What do you think about Dana Brooke? How would you fix her?
So we're going to send her to NXT too. And we're going to have her become the China to somebody's Triple H.
I could see that.
As the muscle for whether it's, heel male or a heel female, doesn't really matter. Either one would probably work. So that's what we're doing with her.
She looks so out of place in that Titus Worldwide gimmick where she was a statistician or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that just did not work. Johnny, how would you fix Dana Brooke?
Dana Brooke. That's a tough one, but I would have her to kind of change up a gimmick to like an every woman gimmick, and you know, to a more to a basic modern hard-working, respectable woman gimmick. And you know, one day she'll just get on the mic and say, "Listen, I'm tired of carrying these two kettlebells around on my chest, and my back is freaking killing me, and I'm getting a breast reduction surgery." And then the next week she'll come out like flatter than Bailey, and as a slimmer version, and you know, say I want to be respected for my work in the ring, and you know, I don't want to have to be about my looks. She'll fix whatever she did with her lips or whatever, and you know, her face will morph into a something a more hardworking plain Jane type role.
Okay. Plain Jane Dana. Tim, what about, how would you fix Dana?
Not gonna be able, not gonna be able to top that. So I guess once again, in the spirit of keeping it in the realm of things they could do, unless they went back to the Attitude Era, which I would like a lot more. Yeah, I'm sort of with Suze in that she might be better served as a valet manager, at least for a while. Occasional wrestler, but she isn't any great shakes as a singles wrestler. And I don't know, I sort of feel like they've tried with her and just haven't gotten a lot in return. And I'm trying not to bury her, but if she has anything to offer, I think it's more as a manager, mm-hmm. a valet of some capacity. So, yeah, whether that's in NXT or on the main roster probably doesn't matter that much, but I like her as the China to somebody's Triple H.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Johnny, how would you fix the B team?
Oh, man. So some things you just can't fix. It's like, geez, I think it's time for them to go their separate ways and maybe bring the original Bo Dallas NXT, former NXT champion Bo Dallas, let him go back to his basic roots and where he was given those a couple of fine Bo Lee promos and maybe try to get back that magic, because that was when he was at his best. And as far as Henning, the name escapes me at this point. There's really not much they could do with him. Just continue to fill in those main event matches, not the main event, but the show, the main event that nobody watches.
The modern day Velocity. Tim, what about you and the B team?
Okay, so after I looked up who the B team were, I kind of arrived at the same conclusion. Wow, Curtis Axel, he's the third generation Henning that we're talking about here. He's been around since, like, he's coming up on 10 years, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, about.
He's one of those early NXT when it was variety show.
Yeah, he was in the second version of NXT. You know, the first version, then they kind of split up and made mm-hmm. some of them the core, and then him and Bray and a few other guys were in that newer NXT.
Yeah, and he cut that amazing genesis of the beginning of the McGillicuddy promo or whatever. So, do we even know if he's any good? Like, has he been in these 10 years that he's been with the company nearly? Has he even been in a position to be any good? And I'm genuinely asking. Like, I don't know, because I admittedly haven't followed much of his career, and I wasn't watching a whole lot back then when he first came into the promotion. Like, do we think he just really sucks and doesn't have the skill set, or has he just been in terrible positions and terrible gimmicks one after the other after the other? Which happens. I mean, come along at the right time, get yourself under contract, and keep a low profile. Their attitude for the past, probably 5 or so plus years now is if they're under contract, we're keeping them under contract. So, man, it just seems like a third generation wrestler, a Henning. Yes, it's nepotism, but in the world of sports, in the world of entertainment, in the world of sports entertainment, we kind of like nepotism. So you should be able to do something with that. But I think it's sort of too little too late for him in WWE. Maybe let this man go. He could, I don't know, maybe AEW could do something with him. He could join a Tully Blanchard's stable of clients, or Jake Roberts, or who knows. I mean, just maybe his ceiling is like as a name jobber, but shit, it just seems like you could get something out of the guy if any of that that work rate is hereditary. I don't know. But anyway, who's the other guy in this faction? Bo Dallas. So, and that's it, right? They're just a tag team.
Yeah, they're a tag team. They were originally the Miztourage.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. They started with Miz. So with Bo, what you're going to do is you're going to reform the Wyatt family for the 864th time, because you know the Fiend is going to burn out after he jobs to John Cena at WrestleMania. So that's going to be the end of that. And Bray Wyatt's going to disappear for a little while again. And he's going to come back and he's going to go back to his roots. And he's going to be, I mean, he's still going to be Bray Wyatt, but now it's going to be the Wyatt family. And we're going to be really excited for a week. And we're going to add all these great members like Eric Rowan. And since we don't have Luke Harper anymore, we're going to add Bo Dallas. And it's going to be great, pal. So that's what we're going to do with him.
All right. Maddie, what about you and the B team?
All right, folks. We're going to go on a bit of a journey here, so bear with me.
All right. I'll sit back.
nice.
So as you all know, Edge has just returned to the WWE. And it would appear that somebody's a bit jealous about this, and that person is Christian. So, and you see, Christian can't wrestle anymore because of his head injuries, his neck injuries. So he's going to look for a tag team, and he's going to look far and wide for a tag team, and he's going to stumble across the B team. And for some reason, he's going to pick them under his tutelage, and they are going to become the C team.
That was Christian.
Is going to be the manager for the B now C team,
and they're going to battle Edge and
the Edgeheads. That's right.
Hawkins and Ryder. Okay.
Gotta bring the Edgeheads back. That's right.
I forgot to mention that. I'm sorry.
Well, now that explains it.
We're in a universe where this could take place very easily.
It could. All right, so we're going down to NXT. Now, a guy that, you know, was in NXT, came up, they split his faction all up, and they sent him back down to NXT, and he's been kind of floundering, surprisingly. Tim, what's going on with Killian Dane? How are they going to fix that guy?
I think Killian Dane is fine right now, where he's at, to be quite honest. Like, I don't really want him to be doing more. Is he capable of? Mm-hmm. Probably, but I mean, not everybody has to be a world champion. He's sort of putting on decent TV matches and helping other dudes get where they need to be without completely feeling like a jobber, at least to me. So yeah, that has a limited shelf life. He can't do that forever, frankly, probably for much longer, but I don't think right now having this conversation he's somebody who feels broken. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All these other people on the list like feel broken really badly. And I'm sort of good with where he's at. It's just, you just need dudes in that capacity. And that's, he feels pretty legit. Like he can put up a pretty good challenge to somebody who you're trying to build. And maybe one day it's his time to shine, but not right now. So leave him alone and see where we're at. Like, have this conversation again 6 months from now.
All right, fair enough. Matt, how you feel on Killian Dane?
So this is a rare case where I would call him up to the main roster, and you put him with that Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Shinsuke Nakamura group. You throw him in there, and you have him be a guy who can go toe-to-toe with Strowman at, like, WrestleMania, because they're probably going to do Strowman and Zayn at Mania, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So you have to have, like, Strowman go through Killian Dane in order to get the match with Sami Zayn or something like that.
That's kind of the one thing that faction is missing, is a hoss.
Right.
Like a big guy. Cesaro's as close as they come. Johnny, what about you? How would you do you think Killian Dane needs to be fixed, and how would you fix him if he does?
I'm going to lean to similar to Tim. I think he's just got to wait it out and wait for some guys to get called up, so maybe he could get a spot on NXT. Because it's tough now with the takeovers. You know, with only five matches, for each takeover, it's tough to get on them, and usually those matches are being hogged up by the eighth version of Gargano Ciampa, where the loser gets his schwanz cut off in the middle of the ring, or whatever stipulation they're coming with on the WrestleMania takeover. So it's kind of tough, but he just got to wait it out. So yeah, hopefully after that, one guy will be schwanzless, and there'll be an opening on the card.
I really don't think they have anywhere else to go but that direction, John.
Can I say this is a dream come true. This is a podcast of dreams to be on and hear Jazz Station Bonds on the air.
Well, you know, you got to give the people what they want, man.
You know, it's a little different. We're on a different feed here, Tim. So, you know, I'll loosen the reins a little bit. I know I have a rep. You know, so
I think that meets FCC standards. It's not one of the seven dirty words.
We're all good. Whatever Johnny wants to say, Johnny can say.
No, let's not get carried away.
All right, so to finish this up, we'll stick with you. Somebody that we've mentioned before, the Forgotten Sons. You think you need to clean them up? Is that what you guys were getting at earlier? Kind of like a York Foundation makeover, if you will.
Ooh, I like that, a York Foundation. Okay, so once I looked up who the Forgotten Sons were...
You hosted NXT show, Tim.
Yeah, I know. I was very ashamed. I thought... Actually, I take that back. I did at least know that they were in NXT. I just forgot who was in the group. So, yeah, we'll circle this one back to one of my earlier answers of we're gonna create a new stable. It's gonna be a six person stable. I like, and I think Suze was kind of getting at this. Maybe put not all of them, but I do kind of like Wesley Blake. And we've seen when his team with Murphy, they were not a bad tag team at all. I like him as a tag team worker. So maybe keep him and Cutler perhaps and have them as the tag team of this hypothetical stable I'm trying to build and get something out of that unless there's an immediate much better option available at the time that all this is going to take place, but for want of that, then sure. Let's try to make it work with them. Jackson Ryker, is he still with the group?
He's like their leader. He's like, he's kind of like maybe their oldie. Like he'll manage sometimes, other times he'll wrestle, I guess.
Kind of role. Yeah, I've never been real clear on his role or what he really adds. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like they're their best opportunities are going to be in NXT, so let's kind of keep them there. But in this world where the Undisputed Era goes away, maybe some of the other current top talents in NXT go to the main roster, then they can fill that slot a little bit. I don't think they're totally cooked, just in the sense that I'm very reluctant to give up on anybody who is in NXT, just because it seems like they're good about keeping those dudes in a holding pattern where, like, they get occasional TV time. They don't get totally buried, and it's easy to build them back up. So that's kind of where I'm at with them.
All right. Johnny, how about you and any Forgotten Sons?
Not much here. Just a holding pattern. Because right now, I agree 100% with the team. You know, everything's the roster's Raw and SmackDown. The roster's are overbloated. So let them find their way in NXT and hope for their shot. It looks like they're involved in the tag team title situation right now. So this may be their shot. They might be able to get on that takeover card for WrestleMania and challenging for the titles. So just keep them as they are for now.
All right. Maddie, yeah. What about you?
Yeah, keep them in NXT for now where they can stay forgotten.
Oh.
They weren't half bad live. I mean, Johnny and I saw them at TakeOver 25, right. And they were part of that multi-team ladder match. They were pretty good. They held their own in there. I believe the Street Profits ended up winning, and it was Lorcan and Birch and Undisputed Era. So it was a pretty solid match, and they were in there. And it's one of those things, like, is that like kind of like a gimmick that's gonna fly on the main roster? You know, is it like Aces and Eights, but just cheaper? Who knows?
I mean, they tried Sanity on the main roster, and look how that worked.
Yeah, they didn't give Sanity a fair chance. I think that's the problem there. All right, so we're going to move on to towards the end. And one of our other things we like to do here is it's called Active Roster Legends Deal Hall of Fame. I'm going to throw out a name. And then, now these monikers or these options don't go for everybody. Some people will never, be on the active roster. Some people will, may never make the Hall of Fame. But so I'm going to throw out a name, and you're going to tell me, do you see them being on the one of the three, or two of the three, or none of the three? Who knows? Or three of the three. So we're going to start with you, Matt. I'm going to throw out Brian Cage.
Yeah, you put him on the main roster for sure. He's the definition of a Vince guy.
Yeah.
Big jacked up dude who can wrestle well.
Yeah, we'll see him in the next couple of years. Johnny, what about you and Brian Cage?
Yeah, everything Maddie said, active roster, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely the bodies. Vince is a fan, sure.
Tim?
So once I looked up who Brian Cage was...
I'm sensing a pattern.
Yeah. I thought, okay, yeah, probably main roster guy, has the Vince look. However, I also noticed he's 37 years old. So This feels like an EC3 2.0, God, that's a lot of numbers, situation where you sign him and you get like a year out of him, and then he either flames out or you as a promotion completely lose interest and then bury the guy. Why don't we try to make a go of it? Mm-hmm. I mean, DDP started wrestling at 35. He's 2 years past that. So, and been wrestling for a while. So if he's still got anything in the tank, let's try to, milk him dry.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's not gross. I'm sorry.
picturing milking Brian Cage. Johnny, Tessa Blanchard, you see her ever coming into the WWE?
Oh, please! Can she do it tomorrow? I mean, the sooner the better. I think the only thing that held her back was there was some little personality stuff behind the scenes. But in the ring, I wish she could be on either NXT Takeover or the WrestleMania card. She's tremendous. She's got it all. Wrestling women, though, I don't want to see her. Wrestling men. It would be nice to see wrestling women on the main roster.
All right, Tim, after you looked up Tessa Blanchard, what do you think?
No, I know.
You gave the Google machine a break. That's nice.
So I feel like if Tessa Blanchard was going to be in WWE, she'd be there already. Which, you know, never say never, I guess. But it just sort of feels like they've missed their window with her. And maybe they actually gave it a try with her and it kind of didn't work out. So how about this? Tessa Blanchard, active roster, Dynamite, not WWE. Let's do that.
Okay. You know, we're not, you know, this isn't a WWE great debate. This is, you know.
Because they need it. AEW needs it a lot more than WWE does.
That's true.
As far as
that's for sure.
Their women's division.
Yeah. Matt, what do you say about Tessa?
Yeah, active roster, the main roster. She'd be a good foil for someone like Becky Lynch on the main roster.
Or Shayna or Charlotte or, I mean, I think
I mean, anybody really. But.
Yeah. All right. Tim, Bubba Ray Dudley. You ever see him coming back in one of these three or more capacities?
Aren't the Dudley boys already in the Hall of Fame? Or did they just induct somebody? I think they – I can't remember.
That's so unforgettable that is.
If he's not – okay, so if he's not already in the Hall of Fame as the part of the tag team, then let's go ahead and do that. See how much I remember. If he is already in the Hall of Fame, then I don't feel the need to induct him again as a singles. I mean, beyond that, active roster, no. Legends deal, why? It's Hall of Fame or nothing for this dude.
Okay.
I mean, what do you want? It's Bubba Ray Dudley. Like, I mean, yeah.
Yes, they were inducted in 2018. My bad there. But do you ever see him coming back, like, in a backstage capacity, maybe? That's really
why. Well, I mean, not even necessarily your bad, because we do see double and even potentially triple time Hall of Famers.
Yes,
so
that's true.
He had his run as a Bully Ray as well. So I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past him at this point.
Maddie, what about you? You see him coming back into the fold at some point? In some capacity?
Yeah, give him a Legends deal. Have him put some schmuck through a table every 8 months or so.
There you go. Johnny, what about you?
The Sue said it perfect. Eventually down the line, just have him make an appearance here or there that with whatever the Raw geriatric reunion and have him put some jamoke through a table. Perfect.
All right, Maddie, let's talk about Emma. What the hell is her real name? Taryn something? Taryn? I don't know. Anyway, Emma or Emmalicious, however you want to say it.
Put her in the active roster in NXT. Because I think if she went back to the main roster, she'd get lost in the shuffle again.
Ah. Tennille Dashwood, that's her real name. All right. Johnny, what about you and Emma?
Active roster, Legends deal, or Hall of Fame? I think I'm going to have to go with none of the above. Sorry.
Okay. You don't see her coming back?
Nah. Overbloated, too many women as it is that don't get enough shine. So it's... I think her time was passed as far as missing the boat there.
All right. Tim, what about you?
Yeah, I kind of get Jad's point, but I'm going to try to have my cake and eat it too by saying NXT, but NXT UK.
Ooh.
Put her there. Mm. Try to do something with an NXT UK women's division because she could really go. And it just, I mean, I know there was the thing with the shoplifting or whatever it was. It just felt like they really fucked up with her and sort of fucked her over. And I'm all for second chances. So somebody who kind of deserves it and has some pretty decent ring knowledge, let's try to give it another go with her.
Yeah,
there's no reason there's no reason for her to be sitting on the sidelines for so long.
I'm sure, like, you guys
will... Is she working anywhere? Like, is she even still in the industry?
I mean, she was over in Impact for a little while, I think.
Yeah, I think she was in Ring of Honor for a bit, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to get to it. I think, but her and Paige put on some really good matches. Right,
oh, yeah.
Right around the creation of the women's belt down there. So, mm-hmm. It'd be very interesting. All right, and the last one we're going to talk about, the Steiner Brothers. Johnny, you ever see them going in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, definitely. They should. And thankfully, I saw today that Scott Steiner is going to make 100% recovery. He had a rough go of it this weekend. So, but yeah, they should definitely put him in the Hall of Fame some year.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, Hall of Fame fully. So glad that Scotty kicked out. And give that man a live mic at the Hall of Fame.
Holla if you hear me. Big booty daddy. Oh, my freaks.
Pushing switches on bitches. yes.
Freaks and peaks.
All right. Maddie, what about you? You agree with all that?
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. They should have been in the Hall of Fame yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Cool. So finish line is near. We're going to get to the rapid fire round quickly in a moment, but since this is the show is going to air right before WrestleMania, we're going to kind of run through. Now, we don't know all the matches, but I'm just going to throw out some things, and I'm going to ask these guys kind of like, you know, just what are predictions. So we're going to basically talk about the champions, and I'm just going to give you a title, and you tell me who's walking out with that belt. Are we all in agreement that Drew is walking out as Universal Champion? Actually, WWE. He's WWE Champion, sorry. Right?
Si, senor. Si.
Yep.
And
not too sure.
No.
You see, it's Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I'm not putting anything past him.
All right. So we got Goldberg and Reigns for the Universal Championship. Any reason to believe Reigns is not walking out as Universal Champion?
That's another obvious yes.
Yeah,
that's Reigns.
Mm-hmm. That's a walk.
Yeah.
Who's walking out as the Intercontinental Champion, Matt?
I have to check to see who has the Intercontinental.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was going to say
it. Johnny, you were there live.
I know. No, I was imitating Tim.
I know.
I have to Google to see who has.
I have to Google what the Intercontinental Championship is.
I'll say Braun wins it back from Sammy.
Yeah,
me too. Me too.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, they'll do one of those one-sided stupid matches. Yeah, it's WrestleMania.
United States Championship. Johnny.
Ooh.
There's a rumor of a four-way between Andrade, Angel Garza, Rey, and Humberto Castillo.
Oh, God.
And that's on Raw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I'll say Carrillo holds on to it. I mean, Andrade holds on to it. Yeah.
All right. Tim?
Andrade.
Yeah, Matt?
I think Carrillo's going to win it.
Huh? Maybe they give him a personality at the same time. The Raw
that would be nice.
The Raw Women's Champion. Everybody think that's going to be Shayna?
Yeah,
I hope so.
Well, yeah. There's also another rumor we're hearing is that Seth and Becky want to take time off after Mania. So, and I think Becky's kind of, I don't know if she's the man has run its course. I don't know. I mean, I hate to say that she's cooked, but. She hasn't done much.
Word that came to mind just now for me. Yeah, Shayna.
All right. The SmackDown Women's Champion, which we have no idea what's happening there at recording time of this recording. But who?
Naomi.
Naomi, okay. That's a good one.
I think they want to capitalize on the social media presence and kind of the buzz she got coming out of the Rumble. Mm-hmm. Plus, I just like Naomi a lot.
All right, Matt.
I'll take anybody other than Bailey. I'll take the field.
And Johnny?
I say Bailey holds on to it.
Yeah, I think Bayley will probably hold on to it, and we'll see Bayley Sasha at SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, yep. In Boston, yep.
Yeah, wicked had. Anyway, your Raw Tag Champions, Tim.
Who are the Raw Tag Team Champions?
The Street Profits right now.
The Profits, baby.
Let's say they hang on to it.
All right, Matt?
Yeah, they're going to hang on to it.
Johnny? Yeah, I concur.
All right. Your SmackDown Tag Team Champions, who are the Miz and Morrison. Matt?
Yeah, they hang on to it, I think.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Johnny?
Yeah, I hate to be boring, but concur.
Your Women's Tag Champions, you think the Kabuki Warriors are going to hold on to it? Tim?
Thank you for telling me who they were. Yes.
Yes, because I don't know of another women's tag team in the company right now.
I think they're going to drop the belt to Natty, and her one of her cats is going to be.
Yeah,
it's going to be some cat scratch fever, and they're going to pull it out. One of the Kabuki Warriors is going to get clawed in the muff and get hit with the muff driver and gonna have to give the belt to Natty and Caddy.
Natty and Caddy, okay.
Natty and Caddy.
Who is your NXT champion after WrestleMania weekend? Tim.
The Dream.
Oh, you think the Dream? All right. Tim?
I'm going to say Ciampa. Mm-hmm. Just because if he doesn't get it back now, then when?
Yeah. Matt?
Jackson Riker? No. Velveteen Dream. I'll go with Johnny.
Damian Priest. No. Who is NXT Women's Champion after WrestleMania? Johnny.
I say Rhea.
All right. Maddie.
Yeah, Rhea.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
It's tough to bet against Charlotte at WrestleMania. God. And we do think that this match is going to take place at WrestleMania, not on TakeOver.
That's pretty much already confirmed.
Earlier tonight, they did a little piece of Rhea at Raymond
walking
James.
Around Tampa, yeah. It's confirmed.
They're going to fuck this up. It's going to be Charlotte.
Okay.
Boy, yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Johnny.
I mean, look at Charlotte Asuka. Come on.
Yeah, just like New Orleans, I was going to say.
They don't care about Rhea at WrestleMania. Are you kidding me? Come on.
All right. Have some faith, Tim.
No. Are the Broserweights still going to be your tag champions after TakeOver Tampa, Tim?
God, who are they getting? There's not like a logical choice for them to fail. I mean, they could do a rematch with.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a three-way.
Yeah.
Three-way with Fish Fry and O'Reilly and their sons. It's probably going to be three-way.
Yeah, maybe ladder match. I don't know. I don't think it goes back to UE, and I don't see like a big coronation for a new team, so I'm going to say they retain.
Yeah, I said the Bros is retained. Yeah.
Yep, same.
Yeah, not the grizzled young vets maybe coming down there and stealing it. All right. All
not right. yet. Yeah. Not yet.
Okay. Who's your NXT North American champion, Matt? Is that still Keith Lee?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't see anybody beating
Johnny.
Yeah, keep Lee strong.
All right. Tim.
Big time. Yeah, keep it with Keith.
All right. Very simple. Will there be any surprise turns, swerves, or results that weekend that just throw one out if you think could happen?
No.
No. All right. Guys, John or Matt, you guys think of any big swerves or anything that's going to happen?
The one surprise is WrestleMania will be over by midnight this year. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fairly by the book. You know, who you think is going to win is going to win.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very cool. Awesome. So, like on the regular Great Debate, we finish with a 10-question rapid-fire round. I'm going to throw out a this or that, and the guys are going to give me their choice. They can expound a little bit if they choose. If not, they can just go ahead and give their preference. So we're going to start with Tim. Talk about some comedy spots that are a little bit similar. We're going to go with Mr. Sacco or the Cobra.
Mr. Sacco.
All right. Matt.
Sacco.
All right. Johnny, is it a
sweep? Yeah, Sacco all the way, yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about a couple of ladies. Matt, Nikki Bella or Brie Bella?
Nikki.
All right. Johnny.
None of the above.
You have to pick one.
All right, Nikki, because of the obvious reasons.
All right, Tim?
Nikki.
All right. Johnny, the single leg crab made famous by a couple of gentlemen. Do you prefer the Sharpshooter by Bret Hart or the Scorpion Deathlock by Sting?
I like the Scorpion Deathlock by Sting.
All right. Tim?
Ah, man. My WCW marked them, and my work rate aesthetic marked them are coming into collision here. I'll give it to Brett here. I'd love his Sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matt.
I will go with the Scorpion Deathlock.
Okay.
Wow.
Cool. All right, we're going to compare some announced teams. Tim, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, or Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler?
Gun to my head, Ross and Lawler.
All right, Matt.
Gorilla and Bobby.
All right, Johnny.
Yeah, Gorilla Bobby all the way.
Yes. All right, Matt, we're going to go with some tag team finishers. The Doomsday Device or the 3D?
Doomsday Device.
All right, Johnny.
Doomsday.
And Tim.
Doomsday.
I love the impact of the Doomsday, but when the Dullies do a crisp 3D, I mean, it's just, when they have the timing so right, there's very few better double team moves.
Oh, it looks awesome. I just love the Road Warriors just like breaking somebody's neck with the good.
That's what it looks like he's going to do. I mean, the only scarier move, I think, was the Steiner's like super DDT.
Oh, man.
I'm like, they're going to cripple somebody with that fucking move. All right. So I'm trying to think, who would I lead off with? So let's see. I'm trying. All right. So, Johnny, Edge tag teams. Do you prefer Edge and Christian or Rated RKO?
Edge and Christian.
All right. Tim.
Yeah, Edge and Christian.
And Manny.
Edge and Christian.
All right. We're going to talk about gimmicks for one person. Terry Runnels. Did you like Marlena or Alexandra York, Tim?
Wow, that was unexpected. let me just say I love both. I will certainly give it to Hachimachi Marlena.
All right. Maddie.
Marlena.
All right. And Johnny.
I'm going to go with the York Foundation, although a woman with a cigar is obviously very intriguing, but I'm going to go with the York Foundation.
Is a woman with a computer not intriguing as well?
Nah.
Depends on the person you are.
I'll take a smoker over somebody that is smart.
I'll be for that.
All right, Maddie, talk about a couple of factions. The Dangerous Alliance or Evolution?
Oh, Dangerous Alliance.
All right, Johnny.
Yeah, Dangerous Alliance.
And Tim.
Agreed. Dangerous Alliance.
Can't vote for anything involving Triple H.
On principle.
It's tough, yeah.
All right. Johnny, when we're talking about a steel cage, do you prefer the chain link or the blue steel?
Nah, the blue steel. Come on, man. You're talking to old fuck, so I got to go old school.
Tim.
Let me put it this way. Blue steel cage, but no escape rules. I hate escape rules cage matches.
Yep.
So Pinfall only. Pinfall or submission only.
Mm-hmm. Matt.
On behalf of the young fucks, I will go chain link.
Hey, that rhymes with your favorite tag team.
All right, and to finish this off, Tim, the NWO themes. Did you prefer the black and white theme or the Wolfpack theme? Sorry.
Oh, got to go NWO Hollywood. I mean, it's the classic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. It's the porn theme. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The porn?
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
The porn theme. Although, don't turn your back on Wolfpack. It's a pretty good sequel, but the porn.
When you want to talk about really hip Lex Luger, you can't do much better than that. Admittedly, but I mean, NWO is a classic.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah,
I was under the impression that Lex Luger was never hip, but that being said...
oh, there's never been anybody hipper than Wolfpack Lex Luger. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Hollywood theme.
Mm-hmm. All right, and it's a clean sweep. All right, cool. So that's going to wrap up episode one of the Great Debate Wrestling Edition. So, guys, I want to thank you all for being here, and let's kind of go around and plug away what you got coming up, with your social media presence, anything you want people to look out for. Tim, let's start with you.
Okay, so I understand I have two shows here on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. They are known as PTBNXT, a new show that I do with Jennifer Smith and Jacob Williams. Really just two episodes into that, coming up in our third very soon, going through NXT weekly television during the network era. So we've picked up calendar year 2014, and we're going to be going through all the episodes of NXT plus takeovers, and that's the show, really, and it's awesome, and I enjoy doing it. Also, Talking WCW, again, myself and Jennifer Smith, our third person in the booth is Greg Phillips, who really carries the show and is so wonderful and funny and fantastic, and that is a wrestler spotlight, wrestler and concept spotlight show where we take a prominent WCW personality or match type or idea, and each of us pick a match that is representative of that subject. So our most recent episode was on Diamond Dallas Page, chosen by me. Our next episode coming up, chosen by Greg Phillips, is a concept. It is Battle Bowl, and I am still friends with Greg Phillips after choosing this, even though I'm questioning this choice of relationship and Greg's judgment. Anyway, look for that soon on Place to Be Nation Wrestling. On the Jenny position, this is Jennifer Smith's podcast feed. I co-host a show with her known as Talking Pop. Very fun. It's whatever we want to do. Sometimes we have a guest that we interview, talk about their life. Let's see. Two out of the three of you gentlemen have been on the show. Mm-hmm. Suze, we've got you in our crosshairs. So let's just say you're on the short list of interviews. So whether you want to be or not, I mean, you don't really have a choice. If we decide our next guest on Talking Pop is going to be this person, they have to do it. And if they say no, then, I mean, we just all unfriend them. So anyway, sometimes we have a guest. Sometimes we just talk junk, whatever it is. It's a fun show. Like it a lot. Also, we have the Journey Through Infinity. This is a show that I do with Jennifer and with JT Rosero and with Scott Criscolo, where we are going through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, just movie by movie as they came out. Largely, this is done because JT has never seen any of these movies before, and he's bringing himself up to speed, and he has very interesting first-time perspectives on these films and on this universe. So we're kind of indulging him and having fun along the way, and it's been great to revisit these films. Okay, so you can find me on Twitter. I am at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-6-8 on the Twitter. And, slide into my DMs. you know, tweet at me, insult me, tell me what I did wrong. It's fine. But, and yeah, that's my spiel.
All right. Yes, all great shows. I love Tim's shows, and the Giant Twins interview has quickly become one of my new favorite shows over on The Jenny Position. So
I'm glad to hear.
It's a lot of fun, and you guys are just scratching the surface. You're barely through phase one. So
this is true. Yes.
Lots of more shows to come. Maddie,
we've recorded our episode on Marvel's The Avengers going back this far now. 2012 is where we're at in our journey through infinity. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be wrapping up phase one shortly, but just barely. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Good stuff. Maddie, what do you got coming up going on?
Well, you can catch me on Jenny and the Gems, where we look at the Hidden Gems section of the WWE Network. And as we record this, we'll be recording the next episode later on this week. And I've been given the okay by the aforementioned Jenny to mention what we are going to be watching for this show. We'll be taking a look at the March to WrestleMania 9. In honor of it being WrestleMania season, we'll be taking a look at that show. So keep an eye out for that. And
is that because 9 is fine?
I mean, sure.
According to some.
If that's your position, I mean, I won't hate it. We're not here to judge it, Jenny of the Gems. But we judge the shows, not the people. And you can check out the weekend playlist. It goes up on placetobenation.com. Check that out every weekend. It's music videos, Spotify playlist, Apple Music playlist for your weekend listening. And if you are so inclined, you can follow me on the Twitter at
MSouza1991. All right. Johnny, what's going on with you?
Yes, sir. At Jedi7 on Twitter. And the Extreme Three-Way Dance is on the North-South Connection podcast network, hosted by JT Rosero and Jenny Smith, where we chop it up about ECW. We're in November 94, and we come to you bi-weekly from there. And as soon as the free agent frenzy in the NFL gets settled, then Tom Brady breaks the hearts of Patriot fans and goes somewhere else, then me and Roger will Senior will chop it up on This Week in the NFL. So stay tuned for that.
Awesome, great stuff. Matt, you were about to say something. Was that you about to say something when you mentioned Tom Brady?
No, I think it was me.
Oh, that's you, Tim. Tim, I was going to be like, Tim, yeah, not going to say nothing Tim, about football.
Tim mentioned something. He mentioned who cares.
No, I was just thinking, Tom Brady to AEW is
that's,
I think,
the hot rumor. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, I Googled who Tom Brady was.
Oh, that's much better. Actually,
he's the leader of the Dark Order, whatever the fuckwad.
He's the exalted one.
Yeah.
Google told me he works for Hulu now.
All right. As for myself, over here on the wrestling feed, the first episode of The Evolution should be up by the time you hear this. That is my new show that's going to be every few months. We're going to break down the career, characters, feuds of one legendary performer, Mr. Scott Criscolo. Join me on the first episode. We talked about the game Triple H. New episodes of The Great Debate proper over on the PDVM Pop feed. I was joined by Jacob Williams. Who else was on that? Logan Croslin, Scott Shiflett, and Sean Kidd. And we discussed a myriad of sports and pop culture type topics. The next episode of Pop Goes the Classic should be coming your way soon. That is my Disney animated feature rewatch series. We're going to be on our second episode featuring Pinocchio, and I host that with Miranda Berthold and Chad Campbell. And coming up soon, new episodes of Laughing Theater, one of my other shows, featuring Mr. Steve Willis dropping by. We're going to be watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and then I will be joined by Jordan Duncan, and we're going to watch Tommy Boy. So look for those coming up within the next few weeks, as well as check out Body Pressure Luck here on the Place Nation Wrestling Feed. Don't forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com. Look at all of our social networking pages. Follow us on Twitter at PlaceToBeNation. What else? We got the Bet's Greatest Sports Logo 2020 tournament is going on. Currently, we're in the, as of this taping, we're in the NHL region in round one. We're going to go to the NFL and then NBA. And check out all of our feeds here. We have this feed, you're listening to Place of Nation Wrestling. We have Place of Nation Pop. And then our adjacent, I guess you want to call them, feeds, the Great Jenny Position, which Tim has a couple of shows on. And then over on the North-South Connection, which features Johnny on the Extreme Three-Way Dance. But for now, this is going to bring the close to our first episode of Great Debate Wrestling. Again, I want to thank Tim Capel, Matt Souza, and J.R. Sinodamano for joining me. And we'll see you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Chocolate? Fucking chocolate?
Oh, God.